Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. Did anybody not get one of the lesson plans for tonight? I don't see any hands. This is all in preparation for our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to have several lessons on recognizing, respecting, and practicing biblical authority. God's word. I thought it'd be good for us to be impressed with God's word in general. I want you to notice with me Deuteronomy chapter. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know.
The word manna means what is it?
And so it's kind of a play on words here. That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we're very familiar with that as Jesus quoted it in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 in the first temptation of Satan to Jesus, where Satan said, well, if you're the Son of God, you've got to be hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. Just command that these stones be turned to bread. And Jesus quoted this passage to him, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is important because many passages that are familiar to us, very familiar to us, go back to God's dealing with the nation of Israel and goes back to the book of Genesis and Deuteronomy, especially the first five books of the Bible. But the first thing that I've noticed and that I'm impressed with is the power of God's Word as it's expressed in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3 says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament and which were above the firmament. And it was so. I'll just show you here that with each of these, God said, and there was. God said, and it was so. God said, let the waters in heaven be gathered together in one place. God said, let the grass be mowed. Nothing happens. There's not a whole lot of authority in what Doug says. But all God has to do is say it. God said it, and it was so. Now, on a few of these, it talks about how he made them and so forth, but it all began with God said it. God authorized it. So you continue to read here in verses 20 through 26, and God said, let the waters abound in the abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly on the earth in the face of the firmament of the heavens. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures and cattle and creeping beasts, things after their kind. And it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And we know God
I believe that I am impressed with the power of what God says. That when God says it, it is so. It happens. Colossians chapter 1, and verses 16 through 17
says, "By him were all things created, that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things came into existence by God saying them into existence. All things continue to be in existence because God's word keeps it in existence." Another passage that shows us the power of God's word. You remember that a centurion had a servant that was about to die and came to Jesus and asked that Jesus would make him well. And Jesus said, "Sure, let's go to your house." And the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak a word and my servant will be healed." The centurion recognized the power of the word of God. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. There are many other examples of this throughout the Gospels, where people express this measure of faith in God and recognize the power of God. Think about those and be ready to talk about them Wednesday night. Other places where God just spoke, Jesus just spoke the word, and it was so. We're also impressed with then the authority of God's word. In Genesis chapter 1, in verses 29 through 30, after he has made man, it says, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. From the time of the creation until after the flood, the only thing that God authorized for man and animal to eat was vegetables, fruits. Even animals that we recognize as meat eaters were not meat eaters before the flood. In Genesis 3 and verse 3, it says, "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said," Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17, Eve is speaking here, "God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Eve recognized the authority of God's command of not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 9, I think I said 6 a little bit earlier, Genesis chapter 9 in the first 6 verses, it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them," this is after the flood is receded and they've come off of the ark, "be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green earth." "Not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely, for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require life of the man. Of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made him, he made man. So here we find that God had authorized only fruits and vegetables to be eaten. Now he authorizes all things to be eaten. With a limitation, cannot eat the blood, the life that Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of, or by the authority of, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. I submit to you that it didn't take the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for all authority to be given to the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All authority had been His while He was with the Father. God said, the Word of God, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. His authority is unquestioned from everlasting to everlasting. He answers only to His Father. And of course, 2 Timothy 3 in verses 16 through 17, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is breathed of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. If it's a good work, we'll find it in the Scripture. If we can't find it in the Scripture, it's not a good work. But the point here is that all Scripture is breathed of God. It's not a work of man. It originates with God. God breathed it into man, just as God breathed breath into Adam, and he became a living soul. So also the Word of God originated from God, given to us, gives us life. Spiritual life. We're also impressed with the reliability of God's Word. 1 Kings 8 and verse 56. It's an interesting passage. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to the people of Israel according to all that He promised." Now notice, "There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses." In the New Testament, in Matthew 25 and verse 35, we see where Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words will by no means pass away." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "This is the reason, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you that believe." There has not failed one word of all His good promise. You can rely on the Word of God. He's never failed in anything that He said. Anything He's ever said has come about. It's happened. And so also when Jesus says, "My word will in by no means pass away," can rely on that. The Word of God is in truth the Word of God, not merely the work of men, but it is in truth the Word of God, given to man by the operation of the Holy Spirit. We see the effectiveness of God's Word. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, we read, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word accomplishes what He designed for it to do. Now, we rejoice in the fact that God's Word accomplishes life. It gives us life. We say, now, wait a minute. God's Word judges us, too. Yeah, God intends for His Word to save and to judge. In John 12, in verses 44 through 50, Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not only in me, but in him who sent me." More importantly, in him who sent me. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." What's he saying? He's saying, I'm speaking these words to you to save you. But if you don't believe them, if you don't trust them and obey them and abide within them, these same words that are spoken for the purpose of saving you are going to judge you in the last day. "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but my Father who sent me gave me a commandment, a command of what I should say and what I should speak. For I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." The command is for everlasting life. But if you don't believe it, you don't trust it, you don't obey it, these words will judge you in the last day. I came to save you, but the very same words that are spoken to save you will condemn you if you reject these saving words. As we talked about this morning, that is true whether you believe it or not. Whether you accept it or reject it, that is truth. Your acceptance of it doesn't make it any more truthful. Your rejection of it doesn't lessen its truthfulness. These words are spoken to save you, both as Jesus spoke them and as I speak them now. They're spoken to save you. But have no doubt about it. If you reject them, if you turn from them, if you will not listen, trust and obey, they will judge you. What God has said is effective. It will accomplish what He has designed for it to do. Be on the saving side of it. God's Word gives life. Psalm 119 and verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Just as God breathed into Adam the breath of life, so also the Word of God, breathed of God, inspired of God, gives us life, spiritual life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us to hold fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Hold fast to the word of life. Without this word, we have no life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Remember the parable of the sower? The sower went forth to sow. And what was the seed that the sower sowed? The seed is the word of God. We've been born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What did Jesus say about being born again? Except you be born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, where did we receive the word? Through the operation of the Spirit. The Spirit has given us the word of God. Except you be born of the word of God, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he says, you have, Christian, you have been born of God. You have been born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because it cannot, will not ever pass away. The word of God sanctifies and cleanses. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, talking about the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. It's the word of God that teaches us to repent, be baptized for the remission of our sins, to have our sins washed away in baptism, in obedience to Christ. Through that operation, we are set apart for God's purpose. Set apart from living in pursuit of our carnal will to be in pursuit of the righteous will of God and live to the glory of God and to be cleansed from our sin, to walk in newness of life with Him. We are sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. The Word is what authorizes the washing of water, the baptism. Have your sins washed away. The Word of God teaches us that. The Word of God is a source of wisdom. I spent some time on this last Sunday night. Deuteronomy 4 and verses 5 and 6 says, surely I have taught your statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. Therefore be careful to observe them. Observe the words that I am commanding you. Observe the word of God. Be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom. This is your understanding. In the sight of all peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. How did they get that way? They heard God's word. They believed it. They trusted it. They acted upon it. It will be evident to all that they are living by a moral code that is superior to anything that man has ever devised. That was the design of God's word to the nation of Israel. And it was so. It was recognized. When the children of Israel practiced the Mosaic law, they were indeed recognized as they are identified here In Job 28 and verse 28, to man, he said, God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. We talked about this some in this morning's Bible class. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Does that mean being afraid of the Lord? No, the fact that he's talking about Lord draws our attention to the authority of the one being referred to. Having a respect for this authority, having a reverence for this authority, respecting his authority, and living within what he has authorized us to participate in. That is wisdom. Recognizing that he is great, recognizing that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he gives us the very best of things, that he teaches us to depart from evil and to walk in righteousness, and having a desire to do that, that is wisdom. Depart from evil is understanding. How do we come to understand that apart from the Word of God? We don't. We don't. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have a respect for God, a reverence for God, even a fear of God, you know, if I don't obey him, he will destroy me. Depart, ye cursed. If I don't have a fear of that, if I dismiss God and pretend like he doesn't exist, or I dismiss his word as a mere work of men and not as it is in truth the inspired word of God, if I just dismiss it, I'm never going to find wisdom. I'm going to be deceived into thinking that my thoughts are as good as God's thoughts. My ways are as great as his ways. Maybe even greater. No, a fear of the Lord. Be afraid of the Lord. A reverence for the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. That's why we began this lesson in Genesis chapter 1. God said, and it was so. Maybe I don't listen to him. You think? A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. And that's so important, and it's stressed for us throughout the New Testament. That understanding doesn't come from reading and studying and contemplating. Understanding God's will for us isn't really accomplished until we do what he teaches us to do. Until we take a leap of faith, if you will. I see what God says. I don't really understand how this works, but I'm going to do what he says. And when we do what he says, we understand why he told us to do what he says. His praise endures forever. We become a source of praise to his name. As he said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We live to the praise of his glory when we believe, trust, and obey his word. In Proverbs 2, in the first 11 verses, we read, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Yes, it's reading, it's hearing, It's praying. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Some of us like to watch TV shows that talks about people looking for hidden treasures in different parts of the United States and other parts of the world. It's an adventure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Some of these TV programs, you know, it's an interesting show, but they hardly ever find what they're looking for. There's a promise here that if we seek her as silver and search for her as it, if we put that much effort into it, he says, you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Is God's word precious to you? Do you seek to know his will for you diligently, understanding that that will is revealed in his blessed word? Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 13 and 14. What's it all about? Why are we here? Why are you alive? What's your purpose for being here on this planet? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, revere God, and keep his commandments. This is man's all. This is why we were created. This is our purpose. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so as we keep his commandments, we do so not merely outwardly for all to see that we're doing the commandments of God, but God looks at our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on our heart. What does he see? Are we genuinely seeking to do his will and to glorify him thereby? God's word guards against sin. Psalm 119 and verse 11, David said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word, as we talked about this morning, God's word is truth. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. As he prayed to his Father on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Both times, Jesus identifies the word of God as being the source of the truth. In closing, I want us to think about a couple of passages. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verses 13 through 17 says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Where's the truth revealed? In the Word. We are sanctified by what, did we notice earlier? By the Word. to which he called you, this sanctification to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast in the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or apostle or epistle, whether you heard the teaching orally from us, or you have received it through an epistle such as 2 Thessalonians. Stand fast and hold to the traditions that you were taught by the word, orally or written. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Why was the word given to us? That we might work what the word teaches us to do. 1 John 2 and verses 4 through 6 says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. Whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, by keeping his word, we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. He walked in the light. We are to walk in the light, no darkness at all. Is that your desire? We can walk in that light if we abide in his word and live to his glory. Finally, 2 Peter 3 and verses 5 through 7. This they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. What's he saying? You know, we began this lesson by looking at Genesis chapter 1. God said, and it was so. By the power of God's word, it happened. Here he's saying, by the power of the word of God, Noah's flood happened. God said it, and it happened. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word that created the earth and the universe and all life, the same word that flooded the earth, is the same word that preserves the earth. And it's the same word that will speak to the destruction of the earth and all that is on it. The heavens and the earth, which are now, are preserved by the same word. God's word is powerful. They are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God is going to call the saved off of the earth before that destruction, to be caught up in the air to meet him and the saved of the ages, to be taken home to an eternal abode, and all else will be burned up. These words were spoken to save us. They will judge us. If they judge you tonight as being unsaved, as being out of fellowship with God, they call you to salvation. They call you to reconciliation. They call you to fellowship. If you will hear the call, trust and obey, and live to his glory, salvation will be yours. You're subject to the invitation tonight in any way. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.